Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We'll continue our study in the book of Colossians. The name of the message is Christ is all in all. Or all in all. All in all. Colossians chapter 3. We'll read the context of the verse. We'll start in verse 7. And we'll actually read past where we'll be looking tonight, all the way down to verse 14 to get the context of the verse. Colossians 3, verse 7, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also have put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And here's our text for tonight. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So tonight we'll be looking at verse 11. Where the scripture declares that where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Paul here brings forth the diversity of the body of Christ. The diversity of the body of Christ. And how, although we come from various nationalities and various peoples, we have one object of our faith, and that's Christ and Him alone. To everyone who's in the body of Christ, He's all. He's everything to us. Everything. We have one thing in common, one object of worship, and that's Christ. Christ alone. We have one Savior. One Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ. We have one Redeemer. Only one who purchased our eternal souls. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him alone. And we have one Lord. Right? Only one Lord. Jesus Christ. He's Lord over all. Saved and unsaved. He's Lord over everything. Creation. Angels. Principalities. Powers. Governments, nations, countries, universes. He's Lord over all. He's God. And God became a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in the room and place of His people. So Paul here is writing to blood-bought saints. He's writing here to the elect of God, those who have been purchased by the precious blood of Christ. Those who have been purchased by the precious blood of Christ. Ones who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And He is telling them that ethnic, cultural, and social distinctions don't matter anymore in the body of Christ. They don't matter anymore in the body of Christ. When it comes to our spiritual standing before God, it doesn't matter what class you come from. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful, beloved. Because the blessings and the promises we receive are from Christ and Him alone. And they're in Christ and in Him alone. So in the body of Christ, you have a diversity of different people. But we have all one thing in common. Christ is our Savior. Christ is the one who's purchased us. Christ is the one in whom we have forgiveness of all our sins. And Scripture says all our sins, past, present, and future. They're all forgiven in Christ. And we receive all blessings and all promises in Christ and Him alone. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. In the body of Christ, our ethnic and where we're from and who we are. I'm Canadian. You guys are American. And we have various people from various nationalities here on the body. Right? But it's all irrelevant, isn't it? In Christ. In Christ. Our economic achievements are irrelevant in Christ. Our standing in our social standing, whatever, is irrelevant in Christ. Because we are all clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We are one in Christ. One in Him. And He is what is most important. He is what is most important. Christ, and think of this, and Christ crosses, like I say, He crosses all divides, doesn't He? What's the one thing that's needful for we who are sinners? Christ. Amen. He's the one thing needful. The one thing that's needful. And that covers everyone. That covers no matter what standing you have in life, we all need Christ desperately. And our text says here, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. But Christ is all and in all. Christ is what's most important. And think of this, beloved of God. God has mercy upon whom He'll have mercy, right? He has mercy on whomever He's pleased to have mercy. And Brother Chet, you hit on tonight. We marvel that He had mercy on us. We marvel. We who are saved marvel that God has had mercy upon us. Scripture here says it doesn't matter if the people, God's chosen people, are of the Gentile nations or of a nation of Israel or the Greeks or the Romans or the barbarians. And look, He even says slaves or masters, right? Look at bond nor free. Bond nor free. All believers in Christ are one in Him. Are one in Him. And think of this. There's not one of us that is better than another. Because we're all sinners. Saved by the grace of God in Christ. We're all desperately needy sinners. And look at our text. It says, it doesn't matter if they've been circumcised or uncircumcised. It doesn't matter if a person, and that's just Jew or Gentile, right? It doesn't matter if a person's a barbarian or a Scythian. You might be wondering, well, what's the difference between a barbarian and a Scythian? The Scythians were considered the barbarians of barbarians. They were the worst. They would drink from the skulls of their enemies, drink their blood. They were ruthless people. Ruthless. But they can be saved just like you and I. And some of them must have been, eh? Because Scripture mentions barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free. Christ crosses racial divides, beloved. Romans and Greeks considered all those who did not speak their language to be barbarians. We would be considered barbarians to the Greeks and the Romans. Paul is telling here, and look at this, but the Holy Spirit has moved the Apostle Paul to word it in such a way that the most barbarous person, Scythians, the most barbarous person is not out of the reach of God's sovereign mercy. That gives me hope. Because I'm a sinner. If that person was chosen in Christ and was redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, they will be saved. They will come to faith. They will. And we are on the trail of God's sheep. We preach the gospel and the Holy Spirit moves and He draws people to Christ. He does the saving. And they look to Christ just like we look to Christ. And I keep looking to Christ. Do you? I'm not going to stop. As long as the Lord's given me grace to keep looking, eh? And He does that to His people. He preserves us. He keeps us looking to Christ. keeps us looking to Christ. So Paul is telling the Colossian believers that they are all brothers and sisters in Christ. They're all brothers and sisters in Christ. That they're united in Christ, whether they be Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, whether they be barbarian or the Scythians, right? Whether they be bond, they're a slave, or whether they're the master, free. Christ is the only thing that matters. He's telling them Christ is the only thing that matters anymore, regardless of nationality, again, economic or social standing. The body of Christ is one in Christ, and the body of Christ is believers in Christ. Here then is the unification, and think of this in light of what we've been studying in Colossians. Here then is the unification against the false teachers and against the false gospels that's coming. Right? That's why we study the truth, to know the counterfeit. Here's the unification. The gospel. Christ. Right there. And we are all united in Him. We who believe are all united in Him. He is the only thing that matters. So let us think on this, beloved. We who are here and are redeemed by the same Jesus Christ who Paul mentions here. Let us remember this, that we are crucified with Him. Because we were crucified with Him. When He died, we were in Him. The same Jesus now enables you to live as a new man or woman. Why? Because you're born again of the Holy Spirit of God. You're born again of the Holy Spirit of God. The same Holy Spirit that indwells you is the same Holy Spirit that had Paul write this letter to the Colossian believers. The same Holy Spirit that dwelt in Paul dwells in all believers, whether they be Greeks or Jews, whether they be educated or uneducated, whether they be barbarian or Scythian, whether they be slave or master, whether they be male or female, all believers in Christ are one in Christ. Are one in Christ. And let us remember, it doesn't matter if the person, again, was bond or free, as our text says here. Now think of this. Paul's saying that those who are redeemed, those who are saved, those who are confessing Christ, whether they be sold in slavery, were no different than those who were slaves to sin. We were slaves to sin before the Lord saved us. And all the people in this world are what? Born dead in trespasses and sins. They're born slaves to sin. And so are we. But we are free in Christ now. We are free in Christ. Our text brings forth that which matters the most. In the latter part of this verse, we see what matters the most. Christ. Christ. Christ is all that matters, beloved. He's all that matters. And with what Paul has penned here is along the lines of our saying, what Paul has penned here when he says, but Christ is all and in all, it's along the lines, one commentator said it's along the lines of us saying, He's everything. He's everything to me. I was thinking about this as I was walking to get breakfast this morning. And I was just talking over him. I thought, Lord, someone took you away, I have no redemption. I have no justification. I have no hope. I have no salvation. And it dawned on me even more. And I know I say this all the time, but He's everything. He's everything.
I have no justification without Him.
I'd have no sanctification without him. I'd be in a hopeless state without him. But praise God, he saved me and he redeemed me. And I'm born again by his Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God. And Christ is now all in all to me. And I know if you believe it, so with you. It's amazing. It's incredible. And this is why we proclaim that Christ is everything to the believer. Look at our text again in Colossians 3:11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now contrast this message with what the false teachers were putting forth, which was Christ in something you do, or Christ in some knowledge that they could only impart. Paul brings forth, remember we saw this in Colossians 2:10, how we are complete in Christ. We're complete in Christ. He did all the work. There's nothing left for us to do. He did it all. Salvation's of the Lord. It's all his doing. It's all based upon what he's done. All other religions will tell you what you have to do. Grace tells you what Christ has done. What Christ has done. In our place. In our place. So the believer is complete in Christ. Therefore, he's everything to us. Now the scriptures clearly bring this forth. Look again in our text. In verse 10 in there. We'll add verse 10 to our text. Paul says, put on the new man, so that's if we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created the new man, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all. Now the word all in reference to Christ is used many times in the scriptures, beloved. Here it says, Christ is all and in all. Here are a few other scriptures though. Here are a few other scriptures. I'll read them. Paul declares, turn up if you would over to chapter 1. Chapter 1 of the book that we're in here. Look at this. We're looking at a few. Now this is by no means an exhaustive. We're just looking at a few verses in scripture where it talks about Christ being all. Paul declares that Jesus Christ is all in all in our text. In Colossians 1 verse 16 it says this, by him, being Christ, by him, were all things created. All things, beloved. Visible and invisible, right? Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities and powers, we know that he's created all things. All things. So right there. By him, by Christ, were all things created. Look at verse 17. He, Christ, is before all things. And by him, by Christ, all things consist. All things consist. By him, all things consist. All things are held together. Not only were all things created by him, which it says in verse 16, but all things in heaven and earth and under the earth and in the skies and heavens and the firmament are held together by him. Christ is God incarnate in the flesh. God incarnate in the flesh. Look at verse 18. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And then look at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, being Christ, should all fullness dwell. And then turn, if you would, over to Ephesians chapter 1. And like I said, you can do an exhaustive study on the word all, and you'll come up with many more verses. This is just a small sampling here for us. Look at this in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. Paul pens this, far above all principality, verse 21. So Christ is above all principality and power and might and dominion. That means, beloved, if he's in absolute control. He's God. He's God. In every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things where? Under his feet. Under his dominion. Under his power. He's a sovereign king. He's an absolute sovereign king. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He's the head in the church. We gather together, and the gospel's preached and proclaimed, and it's all about Christ. It's all about what he's done. This is his church. We who believe are his people. We've been purchased by him. And the cost is his own precious blood. And he is head over the church. He's head over the church. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So he's far above all principalities, all governments, all powers are under his feet. The heart of the king is in the Lord's hands. And he turns it however he pleases. However he pleases. And he is the head over all things in the church. He filleth all in all. So one thing is clear from the scriptures. Jesus Christ is all in all. And there are many scriptures which prove this. Just like the story of a farm boy who was converted called Happy Jack. His confession was this. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all in all. That's my confession. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all in all. He's everything, beloved. He's everything. Now, some might be offended by the simplicity of that statement. But for the believer, it's precious truth, isn't it? It's precious truth for us. So Paul then is bringing forth before the Colossian believers that which matters most of all, our understanding of this, Christ is our all in all. He's our all in all. For the believer, Jesus Christ is all. He's all in salvation, isn't he? He's all. He did it all to redeem my soul. He did it all. And if you're saved, he did it all for you too. He's all in this book. This book is all about him. It's a hymn book. It's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. He's all in redemption. He is the one who shed his precious blood to purchase his people. To purchase his people. He's all in eternal life, right? He's our life. We don't have eternal life outside of Christ. None. He's all in the resurrection. He rose for our justification, beloved. He's all our righteousness. All our acceptance before God. I am accepted in the beloved. I'm accepted in Christ. And only in Christ. He's all our sanctification. He's the one who makes us holy. Now we're still sinners. But in God's eyes, we're made holy in Christ. That's amazing. That's incredible. He's all our hope. He's all our wisdom. He's all our life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. That means you can't work your way into heaven by doing your own works. You can't work it. Christ is the only way. In Christ alone. Natural man thinks that God will accept them upon who they are. The Jews believe this. And others believe that they will be accepted of God because not only of their nationality, but maybe some ceremonies that they perform or some deeds or works that they perform. Or maybe they might show outward piety, outward religious acts, like the Pharisees used to do. Or maybe because they've been taught by some knowledge by a certain teacher. That's what the false teachers were doing in Colossae. But they are sadly mistaken. if they think that God will accept them based upon something that they do. And if God leaves them in that state, it will lead to their eternal doom. It will lead to their eternal doom. Think of this. This verse clears up all those things. Because who does it point to? Christ and Him alone. Christ and Him alone. It points us to the one who is the object of the believer's faith, Christ. It points us to the one, the only one in whom we can be accepted by God, Christ. Only in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the believer's all in all. Look at Colossians 3:11 again. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Christ is all in our regeneration, beloved. It says this, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, it's not based upon their lineage or their nationality, nor the will of the flesh, there goes free willism, nor the will of man, there it goes again, right? But of God, they're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, regenerated. Christ is all in regeneration, because the Holy Spirit points us right to Christ, doesn't He? Yeah, He won't speak of Himself. He'll point us right to Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is all in all in our righteousness. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Our sins are imputed to Christ, and His perfect, spotless righteousness is imputed to us. Wonder of wonders, beloved. Wonder of wonders. In sanctification, Christ is our all in all. But of Him are ye. Paul's writing to believers. But of Him are ye. Are ye. In Christ Jesus. There's the key. In Christ Jesus. Who of God has made unto us wisdom. He's all in all in wisdom. Righteousness. He's all our righteousness before God. Sanctification. We're made holy in Christ. And redemption. Oh, He purchased us. He purchased us with His own precious blood. Christ is all in all in our acceptance before God. Ephesians 1, 6 and 7 says this, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted in sinners, made accepted in the beloved. In whom we have redemption through His blood. There it is. Purchased us. Purchased our eternal souls through His precious blood. The forgiveness of sins. God's people, His elect, have all their sins forgiven. All. And how is it? According to the riches of His grace. Here have mercy on whomever. Here have mercy, beloved. Christ is all in all in love. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. The love of God is set upon us in Christ. In Christ. Separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love is set upon His people in Christ. In Christ. And He's all in all in redemption. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers. 1 Peter 1:18. And then 19 and 20 goes says this. So they were not redeemed by traditions of our fathers. No. Well, how are we redeemed? How are we who believe redeemed? But with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He's the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. Listen to this. Who verily, and think of this if you're a believer, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, made known. He's made known to His people, isn't He? Did Joseph reveal Himself to He revealed Himself to his brothers, didn't He? He made Himself known. They didn't have a clue who He was. That's how Christ reveals Himself to His people. Oh my. Which was, but was manifest in these last times for you, for me, for you, brother. It's amazing. That's grace. That's mercy. We don't deserve that. But yet, He manifests Himself to us through His Word, through the Gospel. It's incredible. And the Holy Spirit is the one who does it. He reveals Christ to us. And what do? We run to Him. We run to Christ, don't we? So all spiritual blessings, Christ is all in all to the believer. All the spiritual blessings of God are found in Christ and only in Christ. All the promises of God find their end in Christ, in Him alone. In Him alone. They are yes or yea and amen in Christ. In Christ. The love of God towards His people is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh my goodness. What a Savior. And think of this. There is no hope for anyone who is not in Christ. There is no hope for anyone who is not in Christ. But what a hope the born again child of God has, knowing that we who believe are in Christ. What hope. What hope. And Christ is, as Paul pens here, all and in all to the believer. To the believer. Think of this. Everything that a hell-deserving sinner needs to cleanse us from all our sins and to take us to glory, to be with the Lord, and to take us to glory without spot or wrinkle, is found in Christ alone. Is found in Christ alone. And it's only found in Christ. It's only found in Him. That's why we say, look to Christ and live. Look to Him and live. Oh, that God would make you willing to look to Him. And here is another truth that gives our merciful God all the glory. Even our being in Christ is of God. It's of God. We can't take any credit for it. We can't take no credit. And we don't want to, because we've been recipients of the mercy of God in Christ. Think of this, beloved. Just let us think upon this. Christ is our all in all. And we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We were in Christ when He was obedient unto His death. We were in Christ when He was obedient unto even the death of the cross. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Right? We died in Christ. When He died, we died. He's our substitute, beloved. We were buried in Christ when He was buried. We were raised again with Christ. By the power of God, the Holy Spirit, when He raised Christ, we raised with Him. And then, the Holy Spirit grants faith to those who were dead in trespasses and sins, whom Christ died for. And we are raised from the deadness. The deadness. We were spiritually dead. Now we're made alive in Christ. And God gets all the glory, God gets all the praise, and God gets all the honor. Because it's all a work of God. Salvation is of the Lord. It's all of the Lord. And let us, we who are redeemed, always remember. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Let us always remember this. That by the offering of Himself, Christ offered Himself, by the offering of Himself, our Lord Jesus Christ sanctified us, we who believe, and perfected us forever. Now, we're still sinners. We're still sinners, aren't we? But God sees us in Christ, doesn't He? He sees us in Christ, sinless, spotless. God, the Holy Spirit, witnesses these truths by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to us through His inspired Word. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. We'll start in verse 9 and go to verse 17. Look at this. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Christ offered himself up once for the sins of his people. Just once. Never to be repeated ever again. Just once. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which could never take away sin. All those Old Testament sacrifices, right, were just pictures of Christ. Scripture declares here they could never take away sin. They were pointing to the one who would. Right? But this man, being Christ, look at this. This is marvelous. After he had offered one sacrifice for sins. Now he's the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. He's offering himself up as a sacrifice for the sins of his people, beloved. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. It is finished. And God is satisfied. He rose from the grave and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, a successful Savior who redeemed and purchased his people by his shedding of his own precious blood. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness. Hold on. Let's look at this. Verse 13. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That means all my sins are forgiven. This is good news for sinners. Real good news for sinners. Because we can't save ourselves, can we? We can't save ourselves. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them in those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. And their sins and iniquities, look at this, will I remember no more. How can God say that? When I commit, I'm in my 50s now. Augustus Copley figured that if you lived to be in your 70s or 80s, you would have committed 2 or 3 billion sins. Well, I think I probably already reached that already, to my own shame, but that's what he said in thought, word, and deed, that we would have committed, I guess he was a mathematician guy too, just incredible, but that we would have committed billions of sins. I can't pay for one. Not one. Just one of my sins. I can't pay for it. But this says here, that as a redeemed child of God, all their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, because the precious blood of Christ paid for them all. What a Savior. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ my Lord. And look at our... I absolutely love this. We got to go back and look at this quick. In verse 13 of chapter 2. And this speaks of that right there. It says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more in Hebrews 10:17. And look at this. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Oh my, in heaven spoiled principalities and powers he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. All the Lord Jesus Christ blotted out all those billions of sins of mine that were handwriting of ordinances against me have been blotted out. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. I can't pay for one of my sins, and Christ pays for them all. And God tells me in Scripture, and he tells every blood-bought saint, If you're redeemed, if you're saved, born again, and you are, he says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Because Christ paid for them all. He paid for them all. No wonder Paul says Christ is my all in all. No wonder that's what the believer says. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And he must have the preeminence, beloved. So let us ponder these things. If the fullness of salvation in Christ pleases our Heavenly Father, and it does, that fullness should and does please every believer. What a Redeemer we have. If in Christ God's people have the fullness of wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, we cry out, Christ is my all in all. In Christ, God's people have the fullness of eternal life. The fullness of joyful bliss and the union with the true and living God, which nothing can sever. Nothing can sever. In Christ, God's people have the fullness of God's glory, the fullness of God's grace, and the fullness of God's truth. It's all in Christ and Him alone. In Christ, God's people have the fullness of perfect peace, a peace that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds focused upon Christ and Him alone. The world does not know, and they wonder how we can have peace amidst trials and tribulations. It's all in Christ, beloved. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. It can only be found in Christ. In Christ, God's people have a fullness that pleases the Father. That pleases God. And it can only be found in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. So now the false teachers of the Colossians days and our days will try to add to the fullness that's found only in Christ. And this is what Paul's warning them about too. That's why he says Christ is our all in all. There's nothing to be added. Nothing to be taken away. Nothing to be added. Christ is my all in all. He's everything. But the false teachers of the Colossians days, and even the false teachers of our days, they try to add to the fullness that's found only in Christ by, they say, by your works or by your deeds. And this will lead to their doom and to the doom of those who follow them. Because salvation is in Christ alone. The only way a sinner is accepted before God is in Christ, nowhere else. He is the only one the Father will accept. He's the only one the Father will accept. And we're accepted in what? In the blood. We're accepted in Christ. We're presented faultless in Him. In Christ. His people, God's people, are accepted by God in Christ and Christ alone. Now let us think on this. There was a time when this world, as we know it, had no being. Had no being. There was no world, there was no seas, there was no earth, there was no universe, there were no trees, right? There were no people. The world, this globe right now, as we know it, did not exist. Well, if Jesus Christ is all in all, where was He then? Where was He then? Well, the Word tells us that in the beginning was the Word. Before there was ever anything. Angels, the heavens, the universe that we see. Before there was anything, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And in the same chapter, in John chapter 1, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He was with God in the beginning. He was not only with God, He was God. He was God. Christ said, I and the Father are one. There was a time when there was no world, but Jesus Christ was all. And beloved, He's still. He's still all. And this is the one who keeps us. This is the one who's redeemed us. There was a time when the world was created, and it was Christ who spoke it into existence. He was all then, and He's all now. Amen. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, remember this too, is the surety of the everlasting covenant. He's the surety, the guarantor of the everlasting covenant. Before there was a world, before there was man, before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. There was a Savior. Way back in eternity. Before there was ever a fall, the fall of Adam, Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. There was a time when this world as we know it now did not exist. Yet Christ did. He is the everlasting one. He is from eternity. And He will always be. He's the Ancient of Days, beloved. He was all in all then, and He's all in all now. Amen. So let us close with this. Christ is all we need. He's all we need. We are sin. Christ alone is our perfect righteousness. We are filthy, defiled sinners. But in Christ, the believer is clothed with the pure, spotless righteousness of Christ and cleansed from all our sins by His precious blood. We are ignorant of the things of God. He's all our wisdom. He's all our wisdom. He's the one who teaches us what we know. I can't claim anything because it's all being taught of God. It's wonderful. We are guilty before the holy God of the universe in our natural state. We come into this world guilty. But Christ is the believer's pardon. He's the believer's pardon before God. And in Christ, the believer is accepted. Accepted in Christ. We are born dead in trespasses and sins. Christ is our life. And we who believe are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Whatever there is that a poor, guilty sinner needs, it's found in Christ. It's found in Christ. And He is the believer's all in all before God. And think of this, there's nothing that God will accept but His Son. There's nothing that God will accept but His Son. This is why we preach Christ, because He's the only one who we can be accepted in. There's no salvation outside of Christ. None. Christ is all God will accept for salvation, for justification, and for the sanctification of His people. We can't work our way to heaven. Salvation's of the Lord. It's only in Christ. We must be washed in His precious blood, or we cannot be justified. We cannot be made righteous. By our own works, we must be made righteous by Christ, in Him alone. And Christ is all to His people. Unto him that believe, or unto them that believe, Christ is precious, isn't He? He is precious. Every one of you who believe, He is precious to you, just like He's precious to me. There was a time when He wasn't, but now, oh my, how did I live without Him? How did I live without Him? He's all that we desire. If I have Christ, I have enough. I have all the fullness of God in Christ. If I have Christ, I have everything that a sinner needs. Everything. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on Thee. Leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. And I pray that if you do not know God, know Christ, that God would grant you faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And then He will become all in all to you, just like He's all in all to all His people. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You and are thankful and grateful for Your goodness and mercy towards us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Undeserving sinners are made willing and obtain mercy in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. We pray that You'd be glorified by the message tonight, and that Your people would be built up in You, and that if it's Your will, that You draw lost sinners to Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.